Well, it's great to see everyone. Happy New Year. I hope you had a great restful holiday. And we're back to work tomorrow. Some of us have already started. Amen? But that's good. But before we start, let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, God Almighty, the God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come. The King of kings and the Lord of lords, the God who dwells in unapproachable light. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the God who calls things that are not as though they were. Father, we lift you up. We praise you for being our God and our King. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for allowing us, God, to experience and see the beginning of another new year. Father, I pray, God, that we'll not only see the beginning, but we'll see the end of this year. That, Father, you will come and guide every single one of us. You'll come and fill us up with your Spirit. I pray, Father, that this year we will glorify your holy name. That in everything we do, you will continue to transform us into the image of your Son, Jesus. Father, we remember those who started this year, last year, and they are no longer around. Father, I know many of them are now with you, and many are not with you, Heavenly Father. I pray, God, that as individuals, you will help us to number our days aright. That we'll realize that the fact that we're here today does not guarantee tomorrow. But that every single day, we will strive to please you and you only. We love you, Lord. Be with us now as we look into your word. We ask and we pray all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. It's great to see everyone. Again, I want to wish everybody a happy new year. And we have a lot to be thankful for God allowing us to experience a new year. Amen. But what a great way to start the year. This afternoon at 1:15, Latoya Langford is going to be getting baptized. Where are you? That's how you start the new year. Amen. The new year marks a new beginning. And obviously, you and I are looking with anticipation to better and bigger things this new year. And I love the new year because for me, it's an opportunity to hit the reset button and to start over. There's just something about the new year that gives us new hope and new dreams. And I'm looking forward to everything God has in store for us individually and as a church in the year 2014. If you're visiting with us this morning, I'm glad that you're here. You say, who are this bunch of people? We're just people from different walks of life who love God, who love his word, and we love each other. We don't pretend. This is what you see. This is what you get. And we're just a bunch of people all messed up trying to live for Jesus. And we're glad that you're here with us this morning. The truth is, everybody on this earth is following something or somebody. And as Christians, obviously, the book that we hold on to is the Word of God, what is called the Bible. Amen? And this is the first sermon this year. And so obviously, I'm going to talk about our theme for 2014. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, a passage we are very familiar with, it talks about how all the Bible is inspired of God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All of the Bible is from God, the Bible tells us. We believe in this church, and I've always believed, that the Bible is the infallible Word of God. That yes, men are fallible, but the Bible is infallible. This is the Word of God. He said, well, men wrote it. Yes, God used men like you and me to put his message down. But these are not man's thoughts. These are God's thoughts telling us how to live. The Bible teaches us a great deal of things. It teaches us how to interact with one another. It teaches us how to love other people. It teaches us about marriage. It teaches us how to raise children. It teaches us how to resolve conflict. It talks about loving the lost. The Bible talks about helping the poor. It talks about our attitude towards our daily work and daily living. The Bible talks about joy. The Bible talks about hope. It talks about faith. It talks about perseverance. It talks about God's promises. It talks about change. It talks about commitment. It talks about our attitudes towards money. It talks about forgiveness. It talks about death. It talks about eternal life. It talks about overcoming fear. It talks about dealing with failure. It talks about gentleness. It talks about spiritual growth. The Bible talks about being courageous. The Bible talks a lot about miracles. It talks about the Holy Spirit. It talks about making plans. It talks about kindness. It talks about purity. It talks about waiting on God. It talks about patience. It talks about knowing God better, and so on and so on and so on and so on. No wonder it takes a whole lifetime to really even begin to scratch the surface of what's inside this book. And I'm amazed that all this stuff you can find in one book. If you walked into the bookstore, they have different sections. You got fiction on one side, you got biography, you got reference section, you got all that stuff. And there are a lot of books in there. But all God had to do was just write one. And this is still the number one bestseller. They sell more Bibles every year than any other book at Barnes & Noble. And it's all here in one book. Which leads me to our theme for 2014. Because the Bible tells me so. That's what we're going to be doing and talking about this year. We just sang about it. Because the Bible tells me so. Like I said, everybody is following someone or something. I don't know who you're following this morning. I don't know what standard you live your life by this morning. But I hope and pray that beginning this year, you will decide to live your life based on what the Bible teaches. You will decide every single day when you wake up that you are going to make this the standard for your life. That if the Bible says it, you are going to do it. If the Bible says it, you are not going to argue. You are not going to go think about it. You are not going to go pray about it. But guess what? Because he's not going to change his mind. If the Bible says it, we simply need to do it. We need to understand it and then obey what God is telling us. Amen? So our theme for 2014, because the Bible tells me so. Look in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 in verse 4. Paul writes, "For everything that was written in the past," talking about the Old Testament, "for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, you and I might have hope." Amen? It says, everything that was written in the past. Now, obviously, when he wrote this, he was referring to the Old Testament scriptures. Now, you and I are living in the 21st century, so when we look back, our past is not only the Old Testament, but also the New Testament. It's all God's word. Are you with me? He says, all of this stuff was written in the past to teach us. So there is an element there that you and I are meant to be learning and growing in the word. That is what a disciple of Jesus is. Somebody who is a learner. The only place you're going to find Jesus talked about is his word. Are you with me? The more you and I get into the Bible, the more God teaches us. The more time you and I spend in here, the more God transforms us. There's no magic to it. Like Stephen said last week, how long does it take to have a 5-year relationship with God? 5 years. You get out of it what you put into it. Are you with me? And I hope and pray that this year, like never before, you will decide to get into this book. And not only that, you will now decide also to obey what it says and believe the promises and have faith in this God. And I promise you, 2014 will be an incredible year for you. You know, as a nation, we love the Constitution. The U.S. Constitution. Woo, Americans love their Constitution. And believe it or not, as important as that book is, the Bible is a whole lot more important. This is our Constitution. It doesn't have one amendment or second amendment. It's all there. This is the authority, the creator of the universe, talking to you and me. Are you with me? The question is, how highly do we place this book? What is your conviction about this? You know, a lot of us as Americans, we have a lot of deep convictions about, you know, the Constitution. Like, you know, I got my First Amendment rights. I got freedom of speech. We got freedom of the press. Yeah, you got freedom of speech. That doesn't mean you can just say anything you want. Do you realize in a hall like this, where we got hundreds of people, you couldn't shout fire? That's against the law. Say, when I got freedom of speech, I'm just going to say, fire! They're going to lock you up if you did that in a place like this. Now, obviously, if there's a fire, you need to shout fire. But there's no fire, amen? But you see, all I'm saying is, even the U.S. Constitution, there are limitations that are placed on us that is good for us. You see, this is our constitution as Christians. We call it the Bible. There's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament. It's all God's word. It's the creator of the universe talking to you and me. You can write this verse down. Jeremiah 26 in verse 2. Where God tells Jeremiah to give them the entire message. Not just bits and pieces of it. As a minister, I hate to use the word job because it's not a job, it's a calling. But part of my function as a minister is to make sure that I'm teaching the entire will of God. That if the Bible says it, I'm going to talk about it. Are you with me? As a matter of fact, starting next week, for 5 weeks, we're going to be teaching the treasure principle. We're going to be talking about money. And I promise you, you are going to be very, very convicted. And I'm telling you now so that you get yourself ready. In terms of your attitude towards the money God has given you, you are going to be very convicted. Because believe it or not, the way you use God's money and the way you're managing the funds that he's giving you right now is going to determine whether you go to heaven or not. I'm not sure that many of us realize that. That we're just saying, oh yeah, I can just do this, I can just do this, I can just do this. You wait. We're going to talk about this in the next 5 weeks. Are you with me? But the Bible talks about money. And I'm hoping and praying that by the time we're done with that subject, our attitude towards God's money will change. Notice I said God's money. It's God's money. It always has been God's money. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll wait till next week before I start. But the Bible talks about a lot of different things. In John 16, verses 13 and 14, Jesus talks about how the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. It is the Holy Spirit that helps you and I understand what this book is talking about. That's why sometimes you read a passage and you go, wait a second. I've read that stuff so many times before. How did that get in there? Is the Holy Spirit allowing you to see that stuff that particular day? Are you with me? But see, when you and I sit down to read the scriptures, we have to be praying that God, open my eyes. Show me something new today. Show me something wonderful. Father, teach me. Father, direct me. that it's not just, okay, I pick it up, let's just see what happens. Are you with me? There's got to be a purpose to our Bible study. Because the Bible tells me so. Again, look in James chapter 1, a passage we're very familiar with. But let's read it. In James chapter 1, this is James, the brother of Jesus, talking. James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed by what he does. Notice, none of those passages talk about if you believe it. Okay? I think sometimes, as Christians, we comfort ourselves by the fact, oh yeah, I believe in the Bible. I'm glad you believe in the Bible. But it's about, are you doing it? Am I doing it? Because I've said this before, when we stand before God, there's going to be a final exam. I know we don't like exams, okay? Now, some of us are very bright, and we know this stuff backwards and forwards, so you look forward to exams. And that's okay. But most people don't like exams. Including me. But there's going to be a final exam. And you and I cannot afford to fail this examination. Because there's not going to be any do-over. You're not going to say, okay, well, all these other guys will graduate. Well, you'll do it over. You go to summer school, and then you can move on. Oh, I'm sorry. There's no summer school. When you and I stand before God, this is going to be the standard. That's what the Bible teaches in John chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. Jesus says, you're going to be judged by my words. The question is, are we living according to this? You know how it is when sometimes you've been studying hard and then you sit there during that examination and then you see questions you don't know what to do with? Come on, man, you've been there. And what are you doing? You're sitting there going, man, this teacher, this professor, man, he always does this. He makes it so hard. And then you're sitting there, you're praying, even as a Christian, and sorry, you don't know it. It's too late. But the truth of the matter is, you and I know where the test is coming from. Even in this world, it's coming from the hard parts. No, they're not going to be asking you what is 1 + 1 on an exam. Are you with me? Yeah. But you see, the thing I like about this exam, it's open book, guys. And we're not talking about studying for 3 months. We're talking about a semester. We're talking about your whole life. So if you and I don't pass this exam, we have nobody to blame except ourselves. Are you with me? And if anything, in life, as we go through it, you know, God gives us different tests. A lot of times we flunk, but guess what? If you flunk a test in this life, you're going to do it over again. As long as you're still alive. God will give it to you in some other form. Until you pass it, and then he'll give you something else. But the final exam that you and I are talking about, if we flunk, we're done. Are you with me? You know, I remember many years ago, I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. When I was growing up, math was very hard for me. It was just very hard. I didn't understand it. And I took lessons. I still didn't get it. And I barely just, you know, I got the minimum requirements to finish high school. It was awesome. I loved economics and geography and stuff like that. But math, me and math, we just didn't see eye to eye. And I'll forget, you know, getting to college and studying accounting. You say, accounting isn't that math? No, it's addition and subtraction. That's all it is. That's all accounting is. You put money somewhere, it has to come from somewhere else. That's all it is. Okay, it's not math. But anyway, one of the requirements to get my undergrad in accounting, you have to take business calculus. I'm not going to lie to you, I hated that class. We would come to class today, and at that point, I'm just beginning to understand what we did 3 weeks ago. That's how bad it was. And I forget it. We took the midterm exam. I got an F. I studied hard. I went to guys who knew the stuff. I still couldn't understand it. And studied hard. Come finals. I'm sitting there. I knew the first few questions. And then, you know, obviously, everything just got harder. And I tried to get in there, tried to do my best. And at the very end, I wrote on my answer sheet. I said, sir. I said, please. I have to pass this course. I said, all I am asking for is a D. I beg you. And I turned it in and I walked out. I was all dejected and I was like, I'm done. Because again, if I flunked it, I had to take it again. From the same professor. I'll never forget the guy, Professor Martinelli. He was very boring. And so, you know, word got out that, okay, the tests are out. And you know how it is, they at least back in the day, they would paste it out on the door of the class with your student number. And usually, because of my last name, I'm usually not the first person. So I went over there, and I went up there, and I'll never forget it. 06621, that was my ID number. And I saw a D, and I screamed. I said, yeah! And there was a guy walking in the hallway. He said, did you get a D? I said, no, I got a D! He had no idea what I'd just done to get my D. I praise God for my D. That was the only D I had on my transcript as an undergrad. But you know what? God has a different marking scheme. Are you with me? You and I cannot afford to do what I just did whenever that was. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that people are going to beg. They're going to be pleading. They're going to be crying. And God will not change his mind. God will not change your grade. And you and I need to obey the scriptures because the Bible tells us to. Amen? Amen. Think about this. What if our Bible was just as important as our cell phone? What if we truly, like, we couldn't live without it? When we forgot it, we went back to get it. We carried it around in our pockets and in our purses. We always had it close by in case of an emergency. We checked it throughout the day for new messages. We made sure our battery never ran low. We were constantly going over our minutes every month. What if you and I treated our Bibles just as important as our cell phones? Your life would be very different. I mean, if you think about it, cell phones are a very recent invention. They really are. They used to be very bulky, by the way. I know all the kids can understand that. They used to be very, very bulky. The batteries didn't last a few hours when they first came out. You remember Motorola? The battery that you slide in and it goes through the entire thing. And the antennas were big. They were huge. I mean, back then, when these things first came out, if you had a cell phone, you were somebody. I'm not going to lie to you. I remember we were in Africa at the time, and they got me a satellite phone, which was not even connected to any whatever. I mean, just pop that thing up, and you can call anywhere in the world. And I remember they bought me one for emergencies. I remember getting on it after 9/11. Trying to call America, making sure that people were fine in New York. And I'll never forget, one night, Sarah and I went out on a date, and I had my phone next to me. I think it was around that time, too, because I was expecting a call back. And I walked and I put it on the table, and at some point, the call came, and I grabbed that thing, and I put it up, and I'm talking. And everybody in the restaurant is just looking at me. Like, wow, what has he got in his hand? Now, you know, the kids have one, you know. Some of us, even our dogs have cell phones. But it wasn't like that before. They were very, very expensive. And most of us Don't go anywhere without our cell phones. We're always checking it throughout the entire day. What if you treated your Bible that same way? I'm encouraging you to start treating your Bible like you treat your cell phone. Some of us, we have the Bible on our cell phones. Okay? But there's nothing, I'm very old-fashioned. There's nothing like having the book in your hand. There's just nothing like it. Amen? Because the Bible tells us to. We got to make the Bible the standard for our lives. Obeying the scriptures is not an option. You and I are to strive to live by the word on a daily basis. And again, we all know this. Following the scriptures daily is not easy. It never was, and it never will be. But you see, God's commands are unchanging. That's what it tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. When you and I get into the scriptures, we'll understand that God will do the impossible. Luke 18, verse 27. The more we get into the scriptures, the more we realize that all our needs will be supplied by God. Philippians 4, 19. And I like this one. The more we get into the scriptures, the more we realize that God's protection from harm and danger. Psalm 91, verses 4 to 6. It is the Bible that gives us hope. It is the Bible that teaches us faith. It is the Bible that teaches us how to relate to other people. Now look in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Again, I don't know the last time you read through the entire Bible in 1 year. I want to encourage you, you haven't done that lately, to do it in 2014. All it takes is about 6 chapters every day. Read 3 chapters in the Old Testament, 3 chapters in the New Testament. That's all it takes. And by the end of the year, you would have gone through the entire thing. I want to encourage you to do that if you haven't done that in a long time. Because there's so many things that are in there that are just wonderful. They're just incredible. There's so many Bible reading plans that are out there. They're free. But we got to get into our scriptures. Amen, church? In Psalm chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the seat of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers." Verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." Notice, it doesn't say whatever he believes. It says whatever he does. It starts off by saying, blessed is the man who obeys the law of the Lord. It says, someone that delights in the law of the Lord and thinks about God's law day and night. Says, you're going to be like a tree planted by streams of waters. You will always bear fruit. Your leaves will not dry out. Everything godly people do turns out well. But it all comes back to you and I obeying the scriptures. Amen? Amen. It's not rocket science. It never was, and it never will be. It just comes down to that. It comes down to you and I, on a daily basis, deciding that we're going to live our lives based on what the scriptures teach. And I promise us this year, if we decide to do that, your life will be very, very different. Because the Bible tells me so. 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 1. It says, "Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task." That word overseer is the same word as elder, presbyter, bishop. And I have a very exciting announcement I'm going to now make. And I'm just going to read it to you. "It is with great joy and excitement that I announced this morning that Mike Rao is being considered to serve as an elder in the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett alongside Alan Rouse. There's a lot in here, guys. Huh? Let me land. I know we're very excited for him. Alongside Alan Rouse, Steve Galbraith, and Steve Collier. Mike Rouse was baptized here in Atlanta in April 1992, while his wife Chloe was baptized in September 1992. The Rouse have been married for 20 years. Mike works at Turner Broadcasting, while Chloe works at DeKalb Women's Specialists. Mike is blessed with a stepdaughter, Tess, a son, Abram, a daughter, Rachel, and a grandson, Caden. The elders and I believe Mike meets all the requirements of an elder as laid out in the New Testament scriptures. Mike has served as a deacon for the Teen Parents since placing membership in our church 4 years ago. Mike also served as the chairman of the board of the Atlanta Metropolitan Christian Church prior to joining us. If you have any biblical reasons why Mike should not be appointed as an elder, please contact Mike, any of the elders, or myself in the next 2 weeks. Let us keep praying. Let us keep the Rao family in our prayers as Mike prepares to serve as a shepherd in God's church. Amen. Amen. Now you can stand. I told the leaders a few weeks ago I had an exciting surprise for them. That's a surprise. We're looking forward to Mike coming on board, serving as an elder in this church. We have three wonderful elders. He'll make number four. And as God raises them up, we will bring them in to serve God's people. Amen? Amen. But I'm very excited about all the things that God is going to do in our church this year. I know next week we're going to start our classes, our Sunday morning classes, back together. The adults will be in here. The kids will be in their classes. Amen. And that's going to be exciting. And like I said earlier in my lesson, next week I'm going to start talking about the treasure principle. And I pray that it will change our lives and it will change our church. Obviously, Thursday night, we're back. Our first midweek will be Thursday night back at our usual location, right on Lawrenceville Highway, at the Assemblies of Church building right there. And so it's going to be a tremendous, tremendous year. And so whatever it is, whatever resolutions you've made this year, I hope that drawing close to God and getting into God's Word is the first one. Because if you get that one right, everything else will fall into place. Are you with me? And so I pray that this year in 2014, God will use us, God will lead us, God will guide us like he's never done before. You know, some of us are in here, I know we've been studying the Bible for quite some time. It is time to get your life right with God. It is time to get serious about what the Bible teaches. It is time for you to make that decision to follow Jesus Christ. I promise you, you will never regret it. Amen? But it's going to be a wonderful year. But everything we do is going to be because the Bible tells us to do so. Amen? Amen. God bless.
Let's go to God in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly King, God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, God, for the year 2014. Thank you, God, for the lessons that you have helped us to see and helped us to understand, helped us through in 2013. And God, as we start this year, as we start this our first service of the year, as we start a new page, a new chapter in our lives, God, that we ask that you continue to bless us. We ask that you continue to be with us. God, we ask that you continue to bless us as you have throughout our lives. God, as we have a lot of different plans for this year, a lot of different things that we want to accomplish, God, I pray that we will stay close to you. I pray, God, that we will remember that everything that we do, it's because you want us to do it, because you allow us to do it. Help us, God, to be grateful. Help us, God, to remember, God, that there's a reason why we're here. There's a reason why we're still on this earth. There's a task that you have us set to perform. And let us remember, God, that we're the only one that can do that. God, I pray that you are with the leaders. I pray that you are with the selection of Mike Rao. I pray, God, that you will bless that and it will go well. I pray, God, that you are with LaToya and her decision to make Jesus Lord on this day. God, we're so grateful for the way that you love us. We're so grateful for the way that you've protected us. We're so grateful for the way that you've just lavished on us more than what we deserve. God, we pray that as we go forward, that we can take this message, take our convictions, and not only pass them on to the next generation, but pass them on to the people at the grocery store or the people at, the post office or whatever. God, I pray that you'll help us to live out the life and to be an example to this world. God, we love you so much. We pray these things through your son's precious name. Amen. You are dismissed.